Hotline Washington, Thursday, February 26th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, what's inside the Obama budget? One thing we know for sure is it's the biggest in history at least $3.5 trillion for fiscal year 2010 and possibly as high as $4 trillion. We'll talk about the tax increases involved in this plan and why it won't just be the rich that are picking up the tab. Bill Beach of the Heritage Foundation will be with us to explain. Also in this edition, the Republican perspective. Michigan Congressman Dave Camp is the top Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee. We'll get his reaction to the Obama budget blueprint and ask what a Republican alternative might look like. Plus, the Obama administration declares war on traditional methods of energy production. We'll talk with Kevin Kennedy of the Institute for Energy Research about how the Obama team is turning its back on producing oil from shale and how the new budget makes life a whole lot tougher for energy producers. And we'll look at the week's top political stories with John Gizzi of Human Events. All that, plus Thursday's news, follows our discussion on the Obama budget, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Bill Beach, director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We've asked him to offer his analysis of what he's been able to observe so far in the brand new budget blueprint offered by the Obama administration, which comes out at nearly $3.6 trillion, and some estimates say in the end it'll be closer to $4 trillion. And we want to get his thoughts also on what the budget calls for and doesn't call for. And Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Greg, entirely.
Well, first of all, these estimates seem to vary a little bit from about $3.5 trillion all the way up to $4 trillion. What's responsible for the vacillation there?
Well, it's primarily the estimate of what your interest carrying costs will be. That's a big factor. The impact of price changes, which get built into the automatic increases for Social Security and actually our estimates of medical inflation. So these numbers are always kind of not necessarily fixed. Let's just say that it's close enough to $4 trillion to call it $4 trillion or $3.5 trillion. You take your pick. And it is a very large budget indeed, coming as it does, Greg, as you know, following an enormous stimulus bill and the borrowing costs associated with that. Plus, we're looking at more money for the financial rescue of Wall Street. It's just a lot of money coming through this town right now.
We've seen, though, Bill, over the past decade, even under Republican control, the size of the federal budget increase. I believe the most recent budget issued by President Bush was either close to $3 trillion or right at it. So
that's right.
How much of a giant leap is this?
This is an increase. It isn't from the standpoint of what we call the discretionary part of the budget. It goes up by about 4%, which is in line with previous discretionary budgets. As your listeners know, the budget now is about half and half between the mandatory side, which are the automatic payments to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and the discretionary side for primarily defense and then all the other things from energy to education. That's the part that was submitted today. That's the 4% increase. The bulk of the budget discussions and debates will be there. Now, that's only part of what this town's done, though. Okay, so if you compare that to the Bush administration and the Clinton administration, it's on a par. But this administration so far, and it's only 5 weeks old, has passed an enormous additional outlay for this year and next, which is, of course, our stimulus package. When you add that in, then spending has jumped dramatically. There's no question about it. Revenues have fallen dramatically because of the recession. And so the way we're measuring things these days, which is impact on the deficit, well, I suppose you've seen those rockets take off at Cape Canaveral and they go straight up in the air. That imagine the graph of the deficit line. It's going straight up, and it only begins to kind of flatten out right around 2012. The deficit stays up very, very high, but that's our main challenge now, funding this spending and keeping our costs under control.
Bill, talk about that deficit projection just a little bit more, because some of the websites do have a bar graph of the budget deficits in recent years and even the projected budget surpluses from the late 90s. Last year, of course, fiscal year 2008, I believe, had the largest budget deficit on record of just under half a trillion dollars.
That's right.
So right now we're looking at about $1.75 trillion for the next fiscal year. What's the impact of that economically?
Well, there's a couple of things that we'll have to kind of bear as citizens. First off, right now, we're going to be looking at probably more expensive borrowing costs over the next several years. And I'm saying that as a sort of a caution. I'm being cautious about that because we don't quite know that that will be the case. Interest rates are starting to rise. Our interest rates are starting to rise. As we try to compete with other countries for these precious dollars and pounds and francs that we need and other countries need to fund their stimulus packages and ours. That's the first thing. It's going to cost more for the government to borrow, and as a consequence, even though the Federal Reserve is going to fight against it, it's probably going to cost more for homeowners and businesses as well. But here's, I think, the biggest thing to keep in mind about this deficit. A deficit must be paid. It's a debt, and it will be paid by those people who are going to be taxpayers 10, 15, 20 years from now. That's probably when these deficits will begin to actually be cashed out. And that means the taxes will be higher on our children. Now, we've heard that for decades. What does it mean? It means their lifestyle will be, their quality of life will be less than ours. Unless we can find a way to bring government spending under control immediately, reduce that spending, and begin to pay down the debt with the current working population in place, we just pass that debt on to the next generation. So that's the problem. Immediately, we could have a slower economy because of higher interest rates. In the long run, we have a slower quality of life because of the tremendous debt we have to pay back.
We're speaking with Bill Beach of the Heritage Foundation. And Bill, let's shift over to taxes now. And the blueprint calls for nearly $1 trillion in new taxes coming up to pay for all these new programs. That includes rolling back tax breaks for those making north of $250,000 a year. It also rolls back the capital gains tax cut passed by the president back in 2003. Now, the Obama administration says the tax burden is really only going to fall on a small percentage of Americans and that 95% are actually going to see lighter tax bills. What's the reality?
Well, let's just take it point by point because there are several things in here that I think some folks may not have seen. First off is the headline tax increase, which is that the tax rates for those in the top 2, maybe 3% of the income distribution will go up. They have been down because of the Bush tax relief plan of 2001 and 2003. During that period of time, the amount of taxes that this top 2% paid actually increased pretty dramatically, so that they have, even though they're paying at lower rates, they have been shouldering a larger percentage of the total burden of taxes in this country. My guess is that two things will happen when the tax rates go up. First, revenues from that class will fall. They have great discretion on how they can basically expose themselves to taxation, many different kinds of income that's coming into their total income. They'll find the one that's least taxed and shift their money into that area or shift their economic behavior into that area. Second thing is that revenues will fall from that class. We have come to depend on them for so much money, and if you raise taxes, the historical pattern has been for revenues to fall. But let's not think that the rest of us are out of the woods. There is a much larger tax increase in this budget. It's buried deep down, and it is the cap-and-trade auction proceeds. This is the effort, the revenue from the effort to get control of CO2 in the atmosphere. That'll raise the price of energy for everybody. It won't raise gasoline so much, but it'll raise electricity prices dramatically, especially in areas that produce their electricity using coal. But other parts of the economy will also see an effect. It'll affect everybody's wages, everybody's costs, from the price of milk to the rent that you pay in your home, because energy is a base input to almost everything we do. That actually, Greg, is more than twice the revenues that then are expected to come from the tax rate increase. So there are a host of tax rate increases in here, or tax increases. They're certainly trying to raise money. About $2 trillion worth of additional revenues are coming in compared to a $600 billion worth of tax relief.
Elaborate on that a little bit, if you can, in terms of utility bills going up. What kind of increases, realistically, are we looking at here?
Well, it depends on the actual program that they have. They have not proposed the actual program, but they have proposed the dollars. But let's just assume it's like the one that was advanced last year. Then basically you would see a slow but fairly steady increase. Right off, you would see about a 3 or 4% increase in your electricity bill. We can live with that. But within about 6 to 10 years, as the program takes hold, then your home heating bills, your home electricity bills, will go up 10, 15%. We forecasted at one point that if the cap-and-trade bill that the Senate debated last year had become law, then by 2020, which, oddly enough, is right around the corner for some of us, that the average household would pay $1,900 more per year in electricity costs. That's a lot of money for the average household, which has an average income of right around $60,000 from all sources. So it'll hit the middle class. They've got to be honest with everybody about this. But, in a sense, they have been, because they say this is an overwhelming problem, CO2 in the atmosphere. We've got to get control of it. But let's make no mistake. That's part of their tax increase package in this budget, and that's to increase the price of energy.
And, Bill, we've gotten this far with only about 30 seconds left to talk about over $630 billion for a health care plan.
That's a big one, too. Yes, indeed. They're creating a fund of $634 billion to partially pay for the transition to their health care reform. And they're going to fund that in part through a tax increase again, surprise, surprise, and through policies that reduce Medicare and Medicaid spending, about 50-50 from both sources. The tax increase comes from not allowing individuals in the upper income to have deductions or credits like the rest of us do, and they are there again. That may cause the economy to burp a little bit in terms of its economic activity, but there's a lot of spending in this. I guess the bottom line is we're going to find a lot of interesting things in this budget, but one thing we know, it's got big tax increases coming, and there's a heck of a lot of good of substantial spending increases as well.
Bill, a lot to go through, and we appreciate your time today as always, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Beach is Director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation. This is Dateline Washington.